Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, everyone. It is the build-up show. Football is back. My word, a three-week break for the mighty Reds, and we return to action on Saturday night against Arsenal. I'm Paul Machin. Ben Kelly joins me in the studio, and from home, we've got James Sutton and John Machin as well for this one. We're going to be talking about a whole host of things. What a massive game of football it is. Obviously, Real Madrid looming on the horizon as well. What are the Reds going to do in terms of selection? What kind of threat Arsenal do pose, and more? But before we dive into it, we mentioned this on the podcast, but obviously because this is the build-up show for Arsenal, I think it needs mentioning it once again. Rest in peace and thoughts, and go out to the family of Claude Caligari, of course, Arsenal Fan TV regular for many, many years, who sadly passed away this week. I mean, you know, he was famed for some of his genuinely incredible rants and stuff around Arsenal over the years. You know, and I think some people might have had a conception of what you see on your screens and what have you, but he was just a lovely bloke, and I had never had a bad time with him. He always had a smile and a pleasant conversation. Yeah, he was a really good guy in my eyes, and yeah, he will definitely be very sorely missed. So yeah, sad times, but life goes on, football goes on, and Ben Kelly, it's mad because Chris unfortunately had to miss the shows today for a bunch of admin reasons, because he has to do all the real work at Redman TV. But we were doing something yesterday. He was saying, I'm really looking forward to this game. I'm excited. That's exactly where I'm at. I've had my detox, my recharge. I'm hoping the squad feel the same, but just from a personal perspective, I just can't wait for Liverpool to get back on the pitch.
Yeah, and just having that break, having a bit of a switch off. Obviously, we've been working on other projects, just a chance to sort of shift focus a little bit. And now it's all on its way back. I mean, it's very, very rare that we have a 2-week break like that. You know, sometimes you get like an FA Cup weekend or an international break for them to happen back to back, so that and there's no rearranged game for that weekend where the FA Cup fixtures were being played or anything like that. It's been nice to have. So, you know, I've been focusing on other stuff. I've been going out on my bike. I've been watching the Formula One. Like, it's been lovely. But now, you know, particularly this week, you know, building back up, we did the Around the League show on Monday. Switch back on, you know, tune back in for the run-in. There's a really important run of fixtures coming up, not least the Real Madrid games. And there's, you know, with the fixtures that we've got and the fixtures that everybody else have got, there's an opportunity to get into the top four still. But, you know, we have to be pretty much flawless between now and the end of the season. And, you know, it's a big test away at Arsenal to start off that run.
Yeah, it's just lovely, isn't it, James? It feels like, you know, to talk about the run-in like 2 or 3 weeks ago was tough, because we go into that break on the back of two wins. We've booked the Champions League place. You get the Champions League draw, all things to look forward to. But we're here now. You know, and the sun's shining again, and, you know, there's just, kind of Ben alludes to it, we're in danger of being in a world where you're allowed to do stuff again, which would be lovely. And yeah, I can almost, I don't know where, and we'll find out where Liverpool are at by the end of Saturday night. But I've completely forgotten that we've had a bit of a crap season. I'm just kind of, I'm treating this as like almost a season unto itself from here in.
I think that's a really wise way of looking at it, Paul. I think it's a really intelligent way of looking at it, because, you know, it's been such a difficult season. We've had some really good results, and we've been kind of constantly, it feels to me like we've been constantly looking for, right, this is it. We've turned things around now. That's the result that's turned things around. Now we can look forward. We can push on for top four. And then we slip up again and something else goes wrong. An injury happens or something. And as far as I know, we haven't had any more injuries during this period, I don't think. Nothing that I've read about. Have Touch. Just fucking touch every bit of wood in the room. So that's super positive, because that was kind of my only real worry and concern for this little break, was that somebody would come back injured. But it doesn't look like that's the case. So we should have a real, you know, we've got a really good opportunity here. And Arsenal's a good team to play in at this moment as well, because they've had a similar kind of season to us, in that they've had some really good results and they've had some absolute piss poor results. You know, they've dropped points against Burnley. West Ham obviously are flying, but you know, they've dropped points in similar fashions to us. They haven't really. Doesn't feel like their season's really got going yet. And if we carry through the form that we were starting to find, certainly the clean sheets and the, you know, shoring up that those kind of defensive frailties that we saw, if we carry that through, Arsenal won't be able to live with us. They really won't. And, you know, Jota, I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll get into individual players soon enough, but Jota coming back and the form he's shown whilst being away is, I mean, it's lip-smackingly fantastic.
It's nice, isn't it, Dan? I think all those points are sort of spot on there, really. You know, your hope is, obviously, you've got some of the international lads have gone away, and a lot of them seem to have had pretty good trips. Salah has a lot to celebrate, provided he's not contracted mega COVID from being swamped by happy Egyptians. And Jota's, you know, continued his way back scoring as well. And then you've got a bunch of lads who've had a little bit of a rest and maybe a little bit of a re-motivation. Arsenal are not what they were. We're not kind of what we are, but I think the Arsenal are the kind of test I think this team will be relishing.
Yeah, I mean, I've had time to forget all the misery and, you know, look forward now to seeing our brilliant team on the pitch at the business end of the season. And you're right that you couldn't ask for a better team to play, because you want the team to be up for it. Yeah. You don't want to be playing a team they can sort of think is going to be easy or whatever. It should be a tough game, because Arsenal have got some great players. And they do seem, as James said, to have turned the corner recently. They seem to be a lot better. At one point, it looked like Arteta was for the sack because things were going so badly. And now everyone's hailing him again as a genius. So we have to put that right, I guess. It's just going to be wonderful. And I'm interested to see, having Klopp's had an awful lot of those players on the coaching field for, you know, 2 or 3 weeks. I'm really looking forward to seeing who he picks, whether that will be people he's had to coach, or, you know, whether he's going to stick with what we would think of as his proper first 11. It's just really interesting. I'm so looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's that thing. And we're already looking ahead to, like, Real Madrid's second leg and beer gardens being open and people getting to have a little bit of life. And Liverpool have got... The Real Madrid thing is the only potential stumbling block in all this, isn't it, Ben? Because it's hard. I've made my peace with Liverpool's season so far, because it's not great. It's not an ideal circumstance. We start, as far as the race for top four goes, if we're calling this year zero, we start on a handicap for it. We're starting over the points deduction if we want to kind of catch up and get beyond. But I'm feeling a bit laissez-faire about the whole thing. But in terms of where Liverpool can maintain or find some form of consistent league form, we can't know, but this is a pretty good barometer for it, because they've had a break, they've had coaching time, they've had time to prepare for a lot of the players, as my dad mentions there. But there is the Real Madrid game. If you can get a win ahead of this, then we get to continue to have conversations around where Liverpool can have a fight on two fronts.
The starting 11 is going to be really interesting, isn't it? Because, you know, we saw in the Fulham game ahead of Leipzig, that, you know, it's a game we go and lose, but it's a game where, you know, he plays Nico Williams, you know, he rotates because he knows how big the Champions League was in the week. So, you know, we're gonna see a lot, because this is a big game. It's a big game for Arsenal because they're 4 points behind us.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a game where for a good few years we haven't really had to concern ourselves with Arsenal. But, you know, they'll be looking at finishing above us. You know, so...
Well, that's a scalp for them. And it also has hallmarks of early Klopp, where you're not consistent in the league yet, but you go and find ways to beat the headline teams. And that puts more credit in the bank than a couple of wins against lower teams in the league.
So you know, on reflection, what it means is that, you know, if Liverpool go out and they, you know, they put the strongest 11 available out of the weekend, then you know that he's after a top four place as well. But you know, he could easily, quite at the same time, go, well, you know what, I fancy us with the Champions League draw and the way that that's fallen. You know, Real Madrid aren't playing so well, although they've turned a bit of a corner as well. I'm sure we'll have that discussion in a week. But like, he might go, well, you know what, I want to make another Champions League semi-final, and that's the priority right now. And I'm gonna put out the team that, you know, we might do in cup games, where he says, I'm going to put out the team, that the minimum team that I think have the capability of beating Arsenal.
Yeah.
So that might be what he does. And as I say, you know, it's just really interesting to see the approach from here.
It is the psychologically. I mean, the fact is, you could, because so many players have been rested now, James, more than most, he does have the option of playing more players, I think, in both games. But Ben's spot on with that. You know, it's all well and good talking about the players' focus, but the manager's focus is going to be absolutely fascinating, because he knows the importance of the European Cup. You know, and if you ask them, they'll say things like, you know, we play whatever's in front of us and all that. And I actually do believe that's true, and it to some extent. But also, there's a degree to which trying to finish fourth I think they would always preface the chance of winning a European Cup over a fight to finish fourth in the league.
Yeah, I think it's easier for us as fans to sit down and try and come up with priorities. But I think everything I've heard from Jürgen and everything that comes out of the club is that we want to win everything. We want to win every game. And you know, I don't think it is a case of kind of juggling competitions and prioritising and thinking, right, well, you know, a really good, you know, getting through to the semis, maybe getting a European Cup final, you know, what that says about the kind of stature of the club and where we are and the players that we've got available, and what it says to players that we're looking to bring in as well, because we've got a really big summer ahead of us. And I don't want to look too far ahead into the future. But how we finish this season and how we do in these Champions League games is going to have a really big bearing. You know, the eyes are on Liverpool Football Club again, because people know that we need to invest some money. They know that, you know, our front three that we've, you know, have been lauded and rightly so over the previous three or four seasons aren't now at the peak of their powers. And we've got, you know, we've bought Jota in. You know, there's talk of the Mbappe rumour that just doesn't seem to want to go away. But, you know, for us to be attracting those sorts of players and for us to be achieving the things that we need to, it starts now. You're absolutely right, like you said at the beginning of the show, to kind of, you know, it's almost like we're starting afresh. This is day zero, and we have to, you know, going forward, we have to make up all the ground that we've lost, I think.
The thing, Dan, in terms of the squad, and look, we defensively, we're still a little bit bare, although the hope is that, you know, maybe Ben Davies having a little bit more, again, more training time or whatever, he just might be make himself a little bit more of an option. Maybe Reece Williams again. You know, we don't, or Kometi, we don't know really. But my overriding point is that we'll have the most players to choose from than we've had for quite a while. And we're also, when you're in the business end of a season, it's not like when you find yourself out of the first 11 and it's November and December and you're thinking, oh, well, what's the point? You know, if we do choose to preference the Champions League, there's big opportunities there for lads to play big games in the Premier League. So, in terms of motivating your group of players, there should be no issue motivating. We should be able to play. I mean, let's use Oxlade-Chamberlain as an example of this. Does he had a really good cameo against Wolves before the break? But he's one who, he's not going to be starting against Real Madrid, but there's a good chance he starts against an Arsenal, or he might start against Villa, he might start against Leeds. And so you've got, I think you've got a real good opportunity here with this break to re-motivate everyone in the squad and hopefully maintain a good level whilst rotating at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I think to some extent selection's now going to be determined by how awful the previous 6 months have been. I mean, I'd be absolutely astonished if he changes back two centre-backs for the rest of the season. If he can put those two guys on the pitch, then I think he'll do that, simply to get that continuity and stability back. As for the rest of it, the midfield is always up for grabs in our team. You know, I mean, I think Fabinho probably nailed on these days after what we've seen. But other than that, I mean, I've heard Ox is flying in training and he's been with him for 3 weeks showing what he can do. So,
yeah.
You know, I'd not be surprised at all if he played. It's interesting as well because does Klopp look at it as top four is really difficult to achieve now, so let's give up on it? Or does he see it as a challenge?
Yeah.
You know, people are saying we can't make it, but we're going to give it a good go.
I think he's saying to these lads, look, my team for Real Madrid is largely picked. You know, he'll have an idea of 9 of the 11, probably fitness issues notwithstanding, but his point will be, but we've got big Premier League games. You're going to get these games. But then by the time we come around to the second leg, someone might be injured or someone might have, you know, I've had a tough week or they might have played too much footy. And if you've played well in that Premier League game, then you're starting the second leg and so on. And, you know, because I always reference this, like, look at the team that plays against Barcelona. You would never, in second leg, you would never have chosen that team. But we had no choice. So those lads all needed to be ready. You've got loads of evidence to say that you just need to be switched on because your time will come. Just to stick with you on this for a moment, just looking at Arsenal, you know, it was referenced by both the lads there. They're an odd team, aren't they? You know, particularly this season. I wonder whether they'd have been under more pressure with fans. But the Aubameyang stuff's mad. You know, he's still their top goal scorer. I think he's still the club captain, but his form's dropped off a cliff. He was benched for the North London derby. But they're one of those teams, like, you know, they've got him, they've got Lacazette, they've got Odegaard, who's come in really well on loan. They're a team that can cause us problems.
Absolutely. I mean, Odegaard looks absolutely fantastic. Absolutely. I mean, he stands out like a jewel in that team.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, it's odd, isn't it, that even your captain, they've disciplined the captain. That is really, really strange in a football club. But obviously, you know, Arteta felt he needed to stamp his authority and that was a good way to do it. Mm-hmm. And if he can get people playing to his tune rather than to their own, that's always going to be a good thing for Arsenal, particularly with Luis in the side. You know, you've got to have some stability and you've got to have some people who actually stick to the job and not just go off on flights of fancy like he does.
Yeah.
But let's hope he does that on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
No, they've got lots of really good players, but they don't always play very well together.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you look at Pepe, he came in, he looked like he had exactly what they needed, which was an awful lot of pace and ability to score goals. He's just been a complete flop for most of the time, hasn't he?
Yeah, and that's it. They're such an oddly balanced squad, and you can see. I have empathy for what Arteta's trying to build. He's obviously trying to strip it back, isn't he, Ben, and build from the ground up, really, because Wenger left them in such an odd situation. You know, you had the Mesut Ozil contract situation. They'd obviously bought in Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang to just put some star power in the team to kind of hold them over a bit. I always felt that was a bit of a sticking plaster, but they've not resolved that issue. I mean, having Lacazette and Aubameyang, who are effectively two centre forwards in a formation of one centre forward, always felt odd. That's always been at kind of odds. But right, Odegaard's coming. The idea that Arsenal are dead and buried is a bit of a nonsense, but that's why I kind of like the motivation behind this, because they are, you know, the 4 points between us. It's the messaging for Liverpool is, you know, do we think we're really on a level with Arsenal? Like, we are in terms of the table, make no mistakes of it. But I'm saying to Liverpool, are you a team that's on the way down and they're a team on the way? Are we about to cross on the stairs, or can you go and prove that this is a blip? This was an odd campaign.
Yeah, and it's funny because obviously we've already had three meetings with Arsenal already this season, albeit a lot earlier on in the season, with three very different teams having played. Yeah. The league game was a game where, you know, we had everybody fit and we beat them quite comfortably, you know, even though we go 1-0 down. So, you know, it on paper, when you, you know, or even, you know, in practice, when you put the two best squads together, we are better than them. But then, you know, obviously we go out against them, well, we lose twice on penalties to them, don't we? You know, but in both cup competitions, the League Cup in particular is a, you know, a particularly depleted side. So, you know, it's a little bit more difficult to judge. But, you know, again, it comes into the question of what how good is this version of this Liverpool squad compared to Arsenal and the form that we're in right now? You know, obviously Phillips and Kabak weren't really on the scene at the time that we last played them. So, you know, but their form and the way that they've played together over the last couple of games has given me encouragement. So I think we are better than them, you know, despite what the league table suggests. And I think we've got more goals in us as well than we do. But, you know, they do have a better defensive record this season, and they'll be smelling blood because, you know, they'll know that we have one eye in the Champions League.
I guess the thing is, it's whether Arteta's got the ability to do the thing that everyone's done to frustrate us and beat us in this year, and that's completely throw his game plan out of the window to be able to do that. And I mean, I hope he hasn't, and I don't think he has, but we'll discuss a little bit more when we have after a very short break. We've got some really interesting comments. If you're watching this live, then do get your thoughts or whatever in, and we'll get through some of them when we get a moment. Yes, in fact, I referenced that because we had a little bit of trivia coming from Jack Richardson via the Super Chat. Said, "Happy Easter, lads. Quick fact, the last time we played Arsenal on Easter weekend was the 4-2 defeat at Highbury in 2003-2004. Brilliant. Thanks for that, Jack. We got a trivia question for you for the break. Mikel Arteta has only ever scored one goal against us for Arsenal. He scored one for Everton as well, for what it's worth. What was that game? The answer will follow after this very short break.
I don't think there's ever been, and I don't think there ever will be, a bigger figure in Liverpool's history than Kenny Dalglish.
Absolute genius, little scouser from the South Ends, who went on to do magical things for us. Legend in all aspects of the game. When you're talking about someone like Steve Highway, that's the word.
Graham Souness is the best player I've ever played with in my life.
I think he was a forerunner of the modern footballer, Kevin Keegan. I think he'd fit perfectly in the modern world.
Scoring two goals in two European Cup finals to lift the trophy twice, you know, it's a brilliant legacy, isn't it?
We played some good stuff that day, we really did. But, you know, a fantastic relief and, you know, when the final whistle went.
I just did a little jump. Terrible, terrible celebration. One of the worst ever. Nobody's ever done it since, by the way. That's the jump.
Everyone, welcome back to the build-up show. Yes, do go and check out Cop Chronicles. Episodes 1-5 are streaming right now if you're watching this live on Thursday. Episode 6, the final episode of the series, is released on a Friday lunchtime.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Which is Graham Souness. Tom's been working extra hard to get that all done and dusted. So yeah, the full series is there and available streaming. So if you need a little bit of a lift, if you need just some real positivity, and you know, we always talk about this, like the culture of Liverpool football. There's loads of players who you'll know the names of, and you know, you know, some of us are mega super fans, but there's players who were maybe before your era that you don't quite perhaps know as well, but you feel that you should do. This series is a really good way to get you up to speed, and not just in like a here's a load of stats and figures, although there's plenty that stuff, you know, it's a lot of stories from voices of people who witnessed themselves, least of all my dad, of course, who offered his expert knowledge and memories.
I would say as well that it isn't just people coming on and saying how brilliant all these players are, Tom lulled me into a false sense of security. So I actually said exactly what I thought about the players, warts and all. So
yeah, there is a very, very honest assessment for me, Dad, of the overall ability level of Ian Callaghan. But this is great. You know, again, it's just a brilliant, really brilliant series. And if you want to know more about some Liverpool legends and you want to just feel really uplifted, then do go and check that out, as well as a whole lot of amazing stuff we've got streaming now on the RedmanTV.com. Right, yes, the trivia question was, Mikel Arteta has scored just one goal against us for Arsenal. What was the game? Any ideas?
Was it in the 5-1 win? Did he score their goal?
The correct
answer. Gerrard gave the penalty away, didn't he?
Anfield, Saturday the 8th of February 2014, yeah. Liverpool 5, Arsenal 1. Mikel Arteta scored Arsenal's 1 via the penalty. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, to let one in. Yeah. Were we 4-0 up or 5-0 up at the time?
That's a great question. We were 4-5, we were 5-0 up. And that took, so you, we battered them. It was one of those scintillating games of football I've ever witnessed up until that point, of course. And then we both had a bit like, oh. Because we conceded a goal in the 69th minute by a Mikel Arteta penalty. If you got that right, give yourselves a pat on the back and drop a like on the video. Great point made here, actually, in the comments, which will lead us into our next part of the conversation, really. David Barton, talking about the players who've been away, and he says, Robbo played all three games. I think he's the only one with three 90s. Now, I've been banging this drum prior. I think it was the Wolves game. In fact, I did the starting 11 and I put Kostas Tsimikas in because I knew this kind of thing was going to arise, Ben. He's played an unbelievable amount of minutes for Liverpool. I'll get the actual facts in a moment on it, but he's pretty much played every game for us because he hasn't had the proper understudy this year. He's then gone away and played for Scotland. We're now entering into this business period. We're talking about managing a squad for a game here and then a game against Real Madrid. There's a big red warning light for me going on over the head of Andy Robertson.
Potentially. But, you know, he's in the prime of his fitness, you know, stage. I don't think, his body's never going to be in a prime position to be, you know, any better, in better shape than it is right now. And I suppose, you know, it's a shame that I suppose this game isn't the Villa game or isn't the Leeds game, because I feel like, you know, maybe then Tsimikas comes into the fold or is a little bit more like, so maybe he will over the next couple of weeks, maybe he'll get the game, you know, between the two Madrid legs. You know, but it's difficult to predict because Robertson's just so crucial to the way we played. I mean, you know, out of the two fullbacks haven't been quite the level that we've seen them, you know, either of them over the last couple of years. But I'd certainly say that Robertson's been at a better level than Trent has for the majority of the season.
I think Robertson was unreal for the start of the season. I think he's played, but I think his output's dropped. Yeah. Whereas I think Trent started the season poorly and has actually gotten better in the back half. But just to the point, actually, nobody's played more minutes for Liverpool this season, Dad, than Andy Robertson. Nobody. 3,388. The second place is Mohamed Salah, who's played 100 less minutes. Genie Wijnaldum's played 50 less minutes. And, you know, we think about Genie Wijnaldum as being there all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to remember that we've been chopping and changing our centre-backs every game all season. So a bit of stability there was, you know, absolutely essential if you could get it. And we just have to look at the assists from the two full-backs compared to last season, the season before. You know, it's minimal this season compared to the past. Mm-hmm. They were both up with the best assist numbers in the country.
Yeah. And well, Trent's broke the record two seasons on the bounce, didn't he?
Yeah, they're nowhere to be seen at the moment. And that sums up our season in a way.
Well, it's interesting, but actually, you've got that there. Five apiece, five assists this season for Robertson, five for Trent Alexander-Arnold.
It's not so much the assist, though, is it? It's the chances created.
The point. I contend they both would have had more if our forwards actually scored goals. Yeah. But just on the Robertson stuff, Dad, I can't. It's hard to make the case for Kostas Tsimikas, isn't it? Because he's simply just not been involved. We don't know whether he was just because you look at like Shaqiri's played more for us than he has recently, but he hasn't played for us this season, really. You know, we haven't really used Shaqiri. We haven't used Origi. And I don't know whether Tsimikas is another Origi / Shaqiri who's just a senior age lad who fulfills a role you know, in your squad. He's just there. He makes up the numbers in training, and he's
an extra sub. He's been injured as well, hasn't he? Yeah. So a long period he couldn't possibly have come in. And I think if he hadn't been injured, maybe he would have had a bit of a run now and again. But as you say, we don't know, do we, until it happens. I mean, clearly the sports scientists and the medics are going to tell Klopp whether Robertson can play or not. And I'm fairly certain that if they say he's okay to play, then he'll play. I don't think they'll be saving him for Real Madrid.
Yeah, it's just that it's tough, isn't it, James? Because as we're talking about that, we bought him because I've someone in the comments here saying he's injured. I mean, like, he might as well. We have no idea whether that's the case at this point or not. But it does, it's Ben's point, right? Robertson, you know, he's in the prime of his career. He's never been more physically capable of handling it. But there is he can't play. The rest, he's not going to be able to play the rest of the season at the level that he's playing at. And I do wonder whether do you just say, because these two games are massive, get through Arsenal, get through Madrid, and we'll have a look and see how we lie by the time we get to we get to Aston Villa.
I think you're right, but equally, I think if you ask Robbo and said, listen, do you need a break? Do you need to be rested? I think he'd tell you no. I think, this is, international captain. He takes his position in the team very seriously. He's I hate to use the word workhorse, but he doesn't stop running. He gives absolutely everything, 100% commitment, 100%, effort every single game. And I think he's one of those players that you'd have to stretch her off the pitch. I think if it was up to him, I think he's going to play every game going forward. And I think, and John mentioned before, and he's right too, about the centre-back pairing problem that we've had this season, and the number of centre-back pairings and the knock-on effect that that's had on everybody's game. And Robbo and Trent are the two players for me that have, that have suffered the most from that, certainly going forward, because without that consistency, you're asking them to play a very different game. You're asking them to protect. You're asking them to defend. Their first thought has to be, let's keep a clean sheet. Let's not concede. And for the first time, in recent weeks, we've got that consistent centre-back pairing. We've got something to build from. Two players who are in tune and listening to each other, and they've had some time now as well on the training ground. So, I if I were Klopp, I'd just say to Trent and Robbo, look, take the handbrake off now, lads, and let's go, let's get the service upfield, let's try and bring Sadio Mane into the game more, if we can, because he's someone else that's suffered. The knock on effect has just been huge this season, and it feels like now if we can keep everybody fit and everybody firing and keep those two centre backs together, I think Real Madrid will be looking worried at us, and I think equally, the games that we've got left, I mean, they're all winnable. Every single one of those Premier League games is winnable. United is the only team I think that is above us in the league right now that we play. They're all winnable. This is, we can still achieve something this season, but we need to keep everybody fit. But I don't imagine there's much rotation goes on. There's not that long of the season left. I just throw it all in there.
I do wonder with, I kind of said this after Fulham, but with the Robertson thing, do you go big on this weekend and see what happens? Because if we do lose this game, that probably is it.
Yeah.
So then you're going into Villa and Leeds, and you just know that that's going to be nigh on impossible to turn around. So do you go big on this, hoping that we win and we get through it, and then you're still in the top four hunt? And if we don't, then that's when later on down the line you can start playing.
It just
playing
goes back to my the point about Tsimikas is that we just don't know what he is. Mm. We don't know how Klopp rates him or doesn't rate him. We don't know where he's at, if he's even literally available for selection come the weekend. We just don't know this, because that's the thing about it. Because he's a senior age footballer. He should be able to drop into these games, and there shouldn't be that. That's the point. That's why we bought him. We've literally bought. We didn't. You don't go out and spend £12 million.
Has he been away this last couple of weeks?
I don't think so. Is the honest answer I have for that. But again, he's just one of them where I can't see it being a change, but that's because I can only base it on my understanding of what we have so far. One thing that we do know in terms of the fullbacks, Ben, Trent Alexander-Arnold, I've got a real feeling that he is going to be absolutely unplayable this weekend. Like, I think he's been sat around. I mean, and he hasn't even, been sat off. Like, I spoke to him I can't remember when that was now, a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. And he was in training when I think a lot of people were thinking, oh, he'd probably be off and having his feet up. He wasn't. No. He was training. He was using the time to get himself prepared for the rest of the season, because I don't think he's the kind of lad who rests on his laurels. And I think all the eyes of footy are going to be on this game on Saturday night. Gareth Southgate's eyes are going to be on it, because where else are they going to be? And there's a big chance for Trent with a little bit more in the tank, I think, to go and potentially put a show.
Well, he's got to. I mean, we know, you know, how much his England career means to him.
Yeah.
To be dropped for the Euros so late on will have really hurt, and he'll be panicking a little bit inside, because, you know, this is the last international break before the Euros. You know, if you get dropped at this point, doesn't bode well for your chances of getting in the Euros squad. So he's now got to go out, play every week at the top level, try and win a European Cup and try and get this club into the top four. That's what he'll be focusing on, because he wants to play for England in the Euros in the summer. Mm-hmm. And pretty much now, all of those things going exactly to plan is the only way that's going to convince Gareth Southgate. Because right now, I think Gareth Southgate, whether we agree with him or not, I think he definitely prefers Kieran Trippier, and he probably prefers Reece James as well. And you know what? Based on the season's performances, that's probably about fair. Reece James, really good defender, getting better every week going forward. He's putting some good crosses in for both England and Chelsea. So that's probably fair enough. Then you've got Kyle Walker in there as well, who's playing for the champions elect. You know, he's going to get in the squad. England, with Wan-Bissaka as well, who was also left out, we've got an embarrassment of riches at right back, and Alexander-Arnold needs to go out and prove that he's one of the best three right back in the country.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I just think about the derby, Dad, where, you know, Henderson's off, we're behind in that game, and the way that, I mean, look, obviously we don't get anything from it, but the way that I thought Trent applied himself in that game, you know, he looked like a lad who was desperate to carry the team. And that's what it is now. You know, there's a finite number of football matches, there's a finite number of minutes between now and the end of the season, and still loads to play for. The hope is now Trent just kind of, if there has been any mental scarring or baggage or whatever, that he's able to cast that off and just go and be the best version of himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think in recent games, Trent has stepped up. He's looked like a guy who wants to play like Jimmy Milner, you know, in terms of his contribution and his efforts and his energy, and he must be thinking, yeah, as Ben said, that if he's going to make the Euros, he's got to be world class for the, you know, for the rest of the season. And it would be a shame if he didn't go. I'm always happy when Liverpool players don't play for England. Mm-hmm. But in a tournament, he's exactly what you need. You don't need, you know, steady Eddies. You actually need proper, classy footballers, and that's certainly what Trent is.
Yeah, absolutely. Another player then, I think there's going to be some selection issues, I think, with regards to the midfield. You know, similar questions to be had about Gini Wijnaldum, but we'll park them for now. I want to talk about the front three, Dad, and Diogo Jota. You know, Bobby Firmino's been back in training over this break. He's got he always seems to pull out the best of Bobby Firmino against Arsenal. In fact, I did a show with DT this week, and he even talked about, like, he doesn't even need to look to score against Arsenal. Again, with two games looming, it makes you wonder whether Bobby Firmino might just come back in, although I suspect the vast majority of people, if they were asked, they would probably go with the Mane, Jota, Salah front three.
Well, I mean, I think with the fact that Bobby's been, you know, at the training ground for the last two or three weeks, will certainly be in his favour. I'd be surprised if the normal front three don't play. Mm-hmm. And particularly the fact that Jota's been away and had two or three internationals, I'm not sure how many.
Yeah.
You know, that I think would swing it in Bobby's favour.
What do you reckon, Jay? I mean, I get the suspicion you've got a Portuguese flag somewhere hanging, you know, got Jota banners ready to go. You'd be all over Diogo starting this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's probably questions to be asked about Mane and his form. You know, not just the latter part of the season, but the season overall. I don't think he's done himself too many favours in a lot of games. He's, you know, it's hard to criticise any individual player this season, but I think there is a case to give Mane a rest and put Jota in. Like you say, I'm just a massive Jota fan. I'd play him anywhere on the pitch. I love I just love the kid.
Yeah. We're going to see, I think, and I've been saying this for a while, but Firmino's injuries kind of came at the wrong time to back it up. We've got four lads for the front three. I don't think Shaqiri or Origi will be in any major contention for now. You know, there might come a point where there's a league game where we might see them if we're prepping for a big semi-final, that kind of thing. But realistically, there's going to be a one in, one out. One plays 60 minutes, one plays 30 minutes, and then you reverse that for the next game. And that could be any one of the main front three, as it were. Jota could easily start in any of the front three positions. Any of those lads could come out. If you had to... But my point is, Bobby Firmino's going to start Sunday, or he's going to start against Madrid.
Yeah.
Do you work it backwards, or do you go, or the other way around?
I think the main front three start against Madrid. I think it's difficult. I know that Jota has been away, but it's very difficult. I think Klopp's got to take into consideration his form with Portugal. He's just going to score three goals in two games. And he'll want to carry that into the Arsenal game. He obviously scored the winner away at Wolves in our last game. There's no reason for me why Jota should be immediately dropped. And I think that Firmino has more experience in the big games. Yeah. And I think that's the way that I sort of look at it. You're also giving him a few extra days. You know, he's been in training, but, you know, he comes on Saturday, get himself a little bit more sharp, and then get him ready to go for Tuesday. That seems like... the logical, that's what I'd be doing if I was playing FIFA. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's a different way of looking at it. Does Klopp go, well, right now, Jota's probably our most lethal goal scorer, so do you want him on the pitch from the start on Tuesday?
That's a good point.
But again, you know, him coming on Tuesday could change the game if we're struggling a little bit.
Well, that's the thing.
I mean, Bobby's record in Europe is terrific, isn't it? You know, he's scored lots of goals and lots of assists. You know, he sort of comes alive in the European game. So maybe
Well, the away game as well, Dad, where I think you're probably having to do a lot more work in that game, potentially. You know, you're doing a lot more running, you're a lot more on the back foot, potentially, in that game, where Bobby might suit that. But there's a comment here from Dee Pierce saying, Firmino has to play for Saturday. For me, Jota is going to be much better off the bench for this one, but stronger in the Madrid game for us, pace away from home, which is a complete counterpoint, because there's a case there where you get Bobby up and running against Arsenal, but having Jota's pace on the counter could be a real asset for us in Madrid.
Yeah, and he's a really good high presser, isn't he, Jota? He puts an awful lot of energy into closing people down, and that could stand you in good stead. If you want to keep Madrid away, you know, keep them up their end of the pitch.
Isn't this just lovely?
Yeah, for once, yeah.
You know, and of course, I'm sure there'll be some catastrophic injury news between here and there, because there always is, isn't there? But yeah, just that last day on James, you know, it's nice that we have conversations again, like, oh, do you start Jota or Firmino? Oh, do you start Thiago or do you start Keita? Do you start Jones or do you start Wijnaldum? Do you start, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's, that's where we're at now. You've got to hope that Liverpool, just whatever they go with, any rustiness from not being in rhythm gets blown away by just pure unadulterated enthusiasm. Oh, is he muted?
Oh.
I'm muted, I'm back.
There we go, well done.
Yeah, there's not many games left, and these lads, you know, they want to show everything, they want to give everything, they want to, you know, we can't play people into form now. It's just a question of get on the pitch and do the absolute business and compete for places as well, because it's if there's one thing that can be said for Jurgen Klopp and this team is that there's opportunities there, certainly in midfield and going forward. And if you do the business, then you know you're in the first team and you're in his plans. And for kind of the sort of fringe players, the Naby Keitas of the team, you're right to mention Oxlade-Chamberlain earlier as well. You know, these lads have got a huge opportunity now to show what they're made of and to kind of stake a claim going forward. And you'd fully expect them to take that.
Mm. Really good shout here from It's Ironic, who thinks we should play Firmino and Jota in a 4-2-3-2 formation. If you can get away with having 12 men on the field, yeah, I'd be bad up for that.
Well, you just don't play a goalkeeper.
Yes, sack the goalkeeper.
You just play rush goalie and do it that way.
Yeah. Right, let's have some score predictions for this one, Ben. What do you think?
I'm sorry, I think we're going to draw one all.
Okay.
I think we're going to get out with a point.
Don't apologise to me. Apologise to the people at home.
Yeah.
James, what do you think the score is going to be?
2-0.
Dad?
2-1.
Yeah, I've got a 3-1. Now, we are notoriously sluggish when we come back from breaks. Now, they haven't been to Dubai, so they've got no excuses. They've literally been on the training pitch. Although, to be fair, with the temperatures this week, it's probably felt rather tropical up at Kirby. I hope they do come back, because I can't be asked to have us not win football matches anymore. Let us know your score predictions. What 11 would you be going for? We have got a final shout for this, by the way. We've got a competition running right now to win a signed Luis Suarez print. If you're familiar with our YouTube memberships, we've got a bunch of tiers. There's three on YouTube, but the main deal is over on the redmentv.com. We showed you the advert earlier for Cop Chronicles. Club captain and club legend tiers there get you access to our full suite of content. But if you join as a club legend, as well as getting a whole bunch of extra perks, you also are automatically entered into our Luis Suarez signed print competition and amazing competitions every month. But it ends at midnight on Friday. So if you haven't signed up and you've been umming and ahhing, you're like, well, look at it now. You get access to the full streaming series of Cop Chronicles, loads of documentaries, and you're entered into the Luis Suarez signed print, limited edition signed print competition. So get involved there, sign up as a club legend on redmentv.com, we'll see you over there. Some more details on that, which will follow at the end of the video. But yes, thank you so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing, for dropping likes, and for just supporting the best football club on the planet. You're all wonderful people, and we'll be back with a watch along on Saturday night. Ta-da. Hey everyone, do you want to be in with a chance of winning an exclusive limited edition signed Luis Suarez print? Well, you can be. Either upgrade your membership or join up at a club legend level on the redmentv.com. Right now, you get access to a whole suite of incredible content, documentaries, features, exclusive interviews with Liverpool legends, past and present. It is a fully functioning Liverpool streaming service for your eyes and ears. There is 1 week left on the Luis Suarez print competition, so get involved right now. But don't worry, if you miss out on that next month's competition draw, you will automatically be entered into that as well to win an incredible Liverpool pin badge collection. We've got exclusive prizes for you guys every single month as club legends on the redmentv.com, as well as all those amazing pieces of content each and every month. So get signed up now and win amazing prizes.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.